The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Nothing perfect or considered, but we're so damn good. It's the story of your life. You're moving down the page, and you know you're on your way. The story of your life. You live it every day. You can run, you run, but you won't get away.
America, bonjour, hi, Canada. Greeting to my 400 affiliates spread across the United States, Canada, and everyone listening abroad or listening on the podcast, tape delay. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Browns is the Browns. Yes, it's a very serious day. I'm going to discuss whether or not the President of the United States ought to be impeached. I do not believe it is a good idea. I think it's a terrible idea, in fact. But I want to hear what you think. You center-right conservatives and center-left liberals, 1-800-520-1234. I'll talk a little bit about the Browns while you're dialing up Harley and speaking with him. We remain shorthanded with half the team out with COVID, but we're here for you, and we believe that it's an important question to ask, and I'm going to give you the numbers for Congress, which is 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. Ask for your representative. They have the first decision to make, and it's a terribly important one for the consequence of the president. I do not believe constitutionally you can convict a president after he has left office, and even though the House might impeach him this week, it would be a terrible scar on future presidents, a rushed impeachment. The first impeachment was a charade. It got our eye off the ball of the flu that was developing, the Wuhan virus that was developing in China. I was talking about it every day on the air, and they were doing the Adam Schiff silly dance over in the House. And now, because of the president's recklessness on Wednesday, and it was very reckless, they want to impeach him again without a process, with no due process. Fundamental to the United States, due process, guaranteed by the Fifth Amendment, by the 14th Amendment. And yes, even in impeachment proceedings, due process is owed to the president. And this would be a farce. But vengeful, hard left Democrats want it. And I want to know if you want it. 1-800-520-1234. I'll tell you that the newspapers are full of it. The Washington Post. Pelosi moves ahead with efforts for Trump's removal as Democrats split on how hard to push for impeachment. From the New York Times. House moves to force Trump out, vowing impeachment if Pence won't act. The Wall Street Journal. House to move to impeach Trump after push to have Pence remove him from office. And then from the Financial Times, U.S. Senators balk at Trump impeachment over Capitol siege. Many reporters saying there are three Republicans who will vote to convict the president this time, not just one. Mitt Romney, they say Lisa Murkowski and Pat Toomey would. I don't know that Governor Romney would. He's a constitutionalist, as I am. And the Constitution clearly does not contemplate removing someone from an office that they are no longer occupying, and the president will not occupy the office on January 10. Let me tell you what I'm not asking for. I'm not asking for you to call up with harebrained ideas on how the vote was stolen. It wasn't. I've told you that for 3 months. 60 lawsuits were brought, Not one succeeded. The president lost. He lost narrowly. He lost by 42,000 votes in three states. Bad campaign advice, terrible polling, and a plethora of other issues. But it was not stolen from him. And in particular, the rioters who attempted to bring the United States government to its knees and perhaps do harm to members of the United States Congress, and who ended up killing a policeman, four other people dying, are not conservatives, are not Republicans. They are armed insurrectionists, and they were armed. And many of them have been arrested, and that is a good thing. But I don't want to hear your theories on why I'm wrong about that. I've heard them for months. You haven't persuaded me, and hopefully you've now persuaded yourself at least, of the danger of fueling such nuttiness. Lynn Wood, I hope you're listening. The fact is that the president lost. And the fact is he gave a wildly reckless speech, unaware, perhaps. That's what an evidentiary trial would hear, if there was going to be such a thing, of the outer fringe of his movement and what they had come for. There's a lot to dig into. There's questions on why the D.C. Capitol Police were not ready, and why the D.C. Police, separate from the Capitol Police, were not ready, why the mayor of D.C. turned down additional help, why the Pentagon appears to have refused the National Guard. There's a lot to investigate, all of which goes to whether or not the president ought to be impeached. There's no time for that. So I think you ought to call Congress with what you think, 202-224-3121. Now, before I go there, though, I have waited 27 years to say the Browns have won a playoff game. The last time the Browns won a, and this is for all my fam in Northeastern Ohio. We are family, despite agreements and disagreements, united in love of the Browns, the Indians, the Cavaliers, and the Ohio State Buckeyes. That goes beyond Northeastern Ohio. We are long-suffering Browns fans. We are tormented for decades at the hands of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And even we were ahead 24-0 in last night's game, we worried. In fact, we worried when the margin dropped to 12 points, but then Baker took it in hand, drove the team down the field and scored. I'm working on 3 hours sleep because, I mean, who goes to sleep after that? I had to read everything twice, and the comment boards, and text everybody I know. I got 1,000, fans congratulate each other, and other sports fans knows what it's like to be a Browns fan. Got my Browns gear on this morning, and I will, and the voice will be back by tomorrow. But I'll tell you, he's a great quarterback. He's going to be the quarterback of the Browns for years. Kevin Stefanski, who was not there, planned out a great opening series. Alex Van Pelt, AVP they call him. Great work. Great work by Joe Wood, the defensive coordinator, though I hate that prevent defense. I just hate it. Big Ben was quick. Didn't sack him. Baker Mayfield wasn't sacked. Four interceptions by Big Ben. It was a great game for a Browns fan. Now it's on to Kansas City, and we're going to beat the Chiefs, too. This is a blessed team. And we're actually going to have a team. Remember, no starting quarterbacks, neither Kevin Johnson nor Denzel Ward. No all-pro left guard in Joel Bitonio. No right guard right tackle when Big Jay Coughlin went down. And then on the left guard spot, the substitute went down, and they had to bring in a guy who joined the Browns this week from the New York Jets practice squad. Baker had to introduce himself in the locker room yesterday. And the fellow did a good job. I can't remember his name, but he's going to get a Super Bowl ring. It was a remarkable game. And now we have Ohio State tonight. We have the Buckeyes going to crush the Crimson Tide. Now, I have a friend named Tom Tradup, who is unfortunately simply not literate when it comes to sports. And he thinks Bama, the sun rises on the east side of Alabama and sets on the west side of Alabama. And there are many people with Bama brains, and they're going to be in for a rude awakening tonight. But thus far, 2 weeks ago, I said 7 to go. I meant the Browns had to win 5 in a row, and the Ohio State Buckeyes had to win 2. We have 3 down, 4 to go. And it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. Congratulations to Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. to Jarvis Landry, who I think is the best possession receiver in the game, to the tight ends, to J.C. Treader, who's the smartest guy I've heard talk about the virus from the player's perspective, to Miles Garrett. And we were down Olivier Vernon, too. It was a nightmare for the Browns. No one gave him a chance. No one gave him a chance, and they won. Go, Browns. What a morning in Cleveland. What a morning in northeastern Ohio. What a morning in Akron, in Youngstown, in Hubbard, in Salem, in Rocky River. You go out as far as you can. It's Brownstown time. There are even a few doughty people in Pennsylvania who know that the Browns are the best. And finally, 27 years later, I talked to both sons last night. One is abroad, and they both called during and after the game. They were afraid that the lead would join the fumble and the drive in Brown's horrible history. But no, it was the blowout in Pittsburgh, the first quarter from heaven, and the Browns are happy. Your phone call's coming up. Should the president be impeached? 1-800-520-1234. Connection to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Should President of the United States be impeached? Is it even applicable, as he cannot be removed? His term will end on the 20th of January. He will be out of office. It seems to me the plain reading of the Constitution does not apply. Let me begin. I'm going to go to Switzerland. And it's funny to go to Bern, Switzerland, because when I had the DNA people as a sponsor, I had to take the spit test. And for years, as far back, it's like Elizabeth Warren talking about family lore. The family lore wasn't very interesting. Irish, German, Scots. That's who we are. Irish, German, Scots. And that's it. The Hewitts are Irish, German, and Scots. Well, comes back, 40% of Hugh Hewitt is Swiss from Bern. Now, I assume that back in the old days, some Scottish Presbyterian got sent a mate from Presbyterian Switzerland. But it's not any family Bible. It's not any lore at all. But Bern I am. Mark in Bern, Switzerland. Good morning, Mark.
Yeah, hi, Hugh. Good morning. It's actually good afternoon where I am.
What are you doing in Bern?
I am a ex-American. I work for the Swiss government, and I host the longest-running blues show on Swiss radio.
Do you think that because I'm 40% Bernese, or whatever you call it, I can move there?
I think you should try. Why not? I did it. I'm here.
It's cold, though, isn't it?
At all.
It's cold, right?
It's a beautiful day today. It's about maybe 0 centigrade, 32 Fahrenheit, but the sun is shining.
Okay, I'll think about it. What do you think about my question?
The reason I called is to tell you there is no doubt in my mind that the event of last week was allowed to happen from both sides of the aisle as a bipartisan event. The Republicans wanted to distance themselves from Donald Trump to prevent political suicide.
Mark, can I interrupt you because I want to run out of time? Do you realize they were in fear of their lives? I spent the weekend speaking to members of the administration and members of Congress, both houses, Senator Cotton said on the show last week he had his weapon brought to him. They were prepared to defend themselves with fire. And people came to site that intent upon hanging Mike Pence. People had weaponry. They had plastic ties. It was a mob bent on death.
Yeah, I hear you. But think about this. This is the Democrats get what they want. They get to impeach Trump, and the Republicans get to distance themselves from Trump.
But they didn't. They did not want this. Nobody wanted this. It's a scandal that it happened. It's a terrible scar on America. I understood you to say they had planned on it or wanted it to happen. They might see advantages in it having happened.
They tolerated it. The police removed the barricades.
No, I've watched, Mark, that's not correct. I've watched it many, I spent the weekend studying this. The police were overwhelmed by many, many hundreds of people. I don't know if we got to 1,000 inside the Capitol. I haven't seen the accurate count yet, but that's just not correct. And while I appreciate your calling all the way from Switzerland, that's just not correct. Do you think the president should be impeached?
At this point, I don't think it matters one way or the other. He's leaving in 10 days.
I know, but I think it's that's the question. Thank you, Mark. Brad in Orlando.
Good morning, you. I want to say I am with you 100%. No, he should not be impeached. And I speak for half this country that said that this is started when he first got elected. They have been dividing this country, going after him with the previous administration, and they have never let up since. So I'm with you. I'm not conspiratorial, but I'm an observer of the fact that they are dividing the country by their actions, and they're continuing to. And it hasn't stopped since before he was sworn in.
So who is your congressperson?
My congressperson is Val Demings, and I do not like her at all because she's a far left-wing socialist.
But you ought to call her. You ought to call her and tell her that you are a constituent, you vote, and that you are opposed to impeachment. 202-224-3121. I'm afraid that the Manhattan Beltway blue bubble is talking to itself again and does not understand how deeply, deeply unpopular it is to impeach the president. Don't go anywhere, America. More phone calls coming up. 1-800-520-1234. America wants to move on. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. I hope you are enjoying the morning. I am now joined by Jake Sherman of PunchbowlNews.com. I want to make sure I say it the right way. It's the brand new thing, the thing in D.C. to subscribe to so that you know what's going on. Jake, of course, formerly of Politico, is the man about Tom with Anna Palmer who gets and gathers all that. Good morning, Jake. Thank you for joining me early this morning, although I see your Punchbowl News is already in my email box.
That's right. Yes, we've been up for hours.
All right. So what is the state of play concerning impeachment?
So Democrats are going to move to impeach Trump on Wednesday. There's virtually no doubt about that. The question becomes how many Republicans will join along. I mean, I could tell you that right now the only defense Republicans have offered, or the chief defense Republicans have offered, is the president, it would further divide the country if the president was impeached. That signals to me that there's not much of a defense at this point. That could change. Kevin McCarthy is holding the conference call today, so we'll have to see what he says on there. But I would imagine, no matter what McCarthy says, there will be 10 or so or more Republicans who vote for impeachment.
Have you heard, Jake? My argument is it's unconstitutional. The plain reading of the statement include impeachment to remove from office. He will be out of office. In 1876, there was an impeachment of the Secretary of War, William Belknap, and it continued after he was out of office, but he was acquitted largely as a result of the doubt as to the jurisdiction of the Senate post his exit from office. Have you heard anyone discussing the fact it lacks due process, it lacks constitutional basis?
No, and I can tell you that there will be, if they continue this out of when Trump is out of office, I could imagine Republicans voting to prevent him from running again. I just think that is a, I think that's, a, I don't know if it's a likelihood, but it's certainly a very strong possibility.
You know, I think Mitt Romney, who I know pretty well, is a constitutionalist, a very serious guy about the Constitution, and I believe he will. People are counting him as an impeachment because he dislikes Trump so much. I think he'll read the Constitution and say on the plain face of it, it's not supposed to apply to people who have already left office. That's why there were no proceedings against Nixon, Jake. That's before your time. But after he left, he might have been criminally prosecuted for a variety of things, thus the pardon. But there was no attempt to impeach him because it's on the plain face of the statute. Are there any Democrats who are opposed to impeachment?
Not, it doesn't seem so at this point. Eleanor Holmes Norton of the District of Columbia, the non-voting representative in the District of Columbia, has floated the idea of a censure, which obviously would pass the House, I would imagine, very overwhelmingly, and would likely pass the Senate, I would guess, even with Republicans in control or nominally in control. But I haven't heard anybody say that.
A censure is completely constitutional, by the way, for people listening to me. That could pass, and I imagine would have a – what he did was quite reckless. Whether or not,
yeah. Listen, I was there, and I could tell you that I was in the Capitol. I wasn't at the rally. I could tell you that was one of the more, and it's actually, this is the rare instance, you, that one of the rare kind of calamities or crises that gets scarier as time goes on. Now that we've learned more about both the intelligence failure and the policing failure, the security failure, and now that we see images from that day, it actually gets worse as time goes on. And I'm telling you, I think this with, and you know, I'm in the Capitol literally every day and have been every day for the last 11 years, with very rare exception. I could tell you that we narrowly missed what would have been a massive massacre.
No, it's the second time. It's the second time the Congress has averted multiple deaths. 9/11, when the plane went down in Pennsylvania, and had some of the radicals reached the Senate chamber, I have no doubt they were dead. Now, Tom Cotton had armed himself, Jake. Are you aware of that fact?
I'm not aware of that specifically, but I am aware of the fact that several members of the House have said they were armed. And listen, the Capitol is a pretty militarized place in the sense that Capitol Police, especially in the Senate and the House, because Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Grassley both have details that include an automatic weapon that is stashed in a backpack because they're both constitutional officers and they feel like they need that, and they rightfully do need that. So, I mean, listen, the radicals did, the mob did reach the Senate floor, but luckily, thank God, the Senate was gone. Thank God they had taken him out of there and moved him to a safe room. I was not moved, and I'm not a priority, but I work in a gallery on the House side on the third floor. I wasn't evacuated until about 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock or something like that because it was not safe to get us. And we were sitting ducks. And I'll tell you, Hugh, I was lucky. We all got very lucky.
I spoke to members of Congress who were scared to death, and rightfully so. It is a mob. Mob frenzy overtakes things. That is separate from whether or not the president incited it or was simply reckless. It will not protect him from civil liability, I believe, from the death of the police officer at the hands of the mob. That will actually be a trial. There will be justice there, whether or not they can prove causation. But Jonathan Turley has argued that if you do this, you are going to make liable every official who gives a speech that is followed in any way by violence, whether or not connected to the speech, Jake.
Yeah, you are a lawyer, and Turley's obviously a lawyer. I am not a lawyer, but I could tell you that the thirst for punishing Trump and impeaching Trump is evident in the House Democratic Caucus, and it's evident, frankly, among some Republicans as well.
Yeah, there's a thirst for vengeance. I know that, but it's not due process in any way. I read the 1974 Justice Department memo on impeachment before beginning the show, and I recommend it to everyone because it's illuminating all this, and especially at a moment when passions are high. Cooler heads ought to prevail. Jake, you know, Kamala Harris, as vice president-elect, would become president-elect in the middle of the trial. That would, of course, also, under the rules of the Senate, immediately freeze the Senate into a trial with all 100 members present for as long as Alan Dershowitz and his team would go on.
I thought Dershowitz had said he wasn't going to be participating in this, or maybe he said he hadn't been asked. Why wouldn't Biden just become? I mean, if Biden was president, why wouldn't he why presumably this would happen when Biden was already in office. So I'm not sure why that would change at all.
Because the vice president presides over the Senate, because it does not appear that the chief justice would preside over a former president's trial.
Gotcha.
So she would be the presiding officer. There's so many confusing things here which make it an absolute nightmare. But in any event, the Senate has to move to it immediately, and it goes on to the, as you recall from last year's impeachment, to the exclusion of all other business. And doesn't Joe Biden want a running start?
Yeah, listen, that's the big question for Democrats. There's also a lot of people beginning to talk about the 14th Amendment, Section 3, which you know well, which indicates that anybody who, I don't know what the exact language is, you probably do, we put it in our newsletter this morning, but that fomented an insurrection would not be able to be in the House or the Senate or the presidency. So we'll see if that has any bearing or any holds any weight with anybody vis-a-vis Trump.
I'm very curious. There is also a move by a minor number of people to expel Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, and any member of the House who voted for the a challenge to the ballots, which is interesting given that they were challenged in 04 and in 16 as well. I think any Republican who does that is committing political suicide, and it's also a scar on the Constitution. But where does that stand, Jake?
Yeah, I think that's I think you noted that right. That's a minor movement. But in the House Democratic Caucus, for Pelosi's internal politics, she has Cori Bush, who's a new member from Missouri. She has saying that she wants to expel everybody in the House who voted for it. You have people looking to censure Louie Gohmert and Mo Brooks, who are some of the most vocal in the certification debate on the House floor. I don't think those will go anywhere, but it does indicate her internal politics. Another item we had this morning is the reputational risk. Companies are now fleeing the Republican Party. We think, obviously, it's probably temporary, but you know, you have major financial institutions, major companies, which do fund Republicans' campaign efforts, saying that they're not going to donate to Republicans for the time being. This is a problem for Kevin McCarthy. No two ways about it. He needs to figure out how to calm that down, because he needs money, and the people who the base is not providing House Republicans with their money that they need to get back the majority. The Congressional Leadership Fund, the Super PAC, is the main engine for that, and they're not going to be able to raise money right now, according to people there and people close to them, because they have this big issue with companies suggesting they don't want to be involved with Republicans at the moment.
You know, Jay, I follow that too. I believe Mitch McConnell is the leader of the Republican Party right now, and that he distinguished himself last week, and he will raise money, and I believe Win Red will raise money, and every overreaction produces another overreaction. I am hopeful that the president-elect gives a very conciliatory speech to the country, and I am also hopeful he wants his nominees more than he wants vengeance against Trump, because he can't get a confirmation vote if impeachment begins.
Jake, yeah, that's right.
Inside baseball. When last the Senate was 50-50, the committees were divided equally under the rules of 2001. Has Chuck Schumer indicated he will adopt those rules?
He has not. They're going to have some sort of negotiation over that, and that's something that hasn't happened yet. But there is a power sharing agreement that needs to be had because of deadlocks and committees and things of that nature. So it's a big outstanding issue, and getting these confirmations through is obviously a priority. But listen, Democrats can't argue that Trump is a danger to the country while at the same time saying they're not going to act on that danger. It's incongruent.
No, the censure is the way out. I believe the censure is the way out. But now a political question. I think Trump is done as the leader of the party. He may return, he may have rallies, but he's done. What's your assessment?
Well, I think that's probably right, in the sense that Republicans are just bone tired of him. Mitch McConnell doesn't have much patience for him. Kevin McCarthy's under fire for getting close, or for remaining close to Trump. And that's a big issue. That's a big issue for all of them. And that's a big issue for Republicans, who, by the way, were counting on Trump to turn people out for the election. But listen, I think Trump is only going to be useful in deep red districts that have primaries. I mean, there's no general election candidate that's going to want Trump near him. There's just not. In big districts and swing districts, I think that's an issue. And I think, frankly, to be honest with you, McCarthy, Scalise, and the rest of the top of the party need to figure out a way to express some sort of anger at what he did. I mean, I'm not saying this for myself. I'm saying this from the rank and file. The rank and file wants to hear that. The rank and file.
Oh, I've heard that. Oh, I agree with you completely, Jake. I've heard that all weekend long. 100% agreement. Jake, good to talk to you. PunchbowlNews.com. Go and sign up, America. You got to read Jake in the morning. It's also time to go to Birch Gold. Let me tell you, I think we are in for an inflationary spiral. The vice president, the president-elect has indicated the deficit is of no concern, and that means inflation. In fact, the 10-year treasury is up to 1.1%. It's doubled in 3 months. Gold this morning is at $18.50 an ounce and rising. It's up almost 1% this morning. You go to HughGold.com in order to get information from Birch Gold on how to make some of your IRA and 401k, I believe 10 to 25% in physical precious metals, or to order gold, or just text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. We're going to be printing money, and I believe that the reconciliation process allows them to do that with a simple majority. It cannot be filibustered. So the spending machine is on. There's going to be a flood of even more money. The deficit's going to go to $30 trillion, and gold's going to go up, I think. Now, I am neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but gold at $18.50, you should investigate today via an information kit from Birch Gold. Go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747 this morning. Come right back. Welcome back, America. So pleased to welcome back our friend Selena Zito. She's down in the mouth about the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I'm very happy that she's feeling good. Selena, I told people last week you had emergency surgery. Are you home? Are you okay?
I am home, and I have to say that is a testament to our American healthcare system. I know that people complain about it a lot, and rightly so, and many times, but it, for whatever reason, a small community hospital saved my life last week.
And by save your life, you are not exaggerating. It was a close run thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. But this long story short, overgrown scar tissue, essentially smothering my small intestine. And all I thought of in the moment, this is so weird, but of course, you know, when you cover politics, this is what happens to your brain. At one point, it clicked in my head, Jack Murtha. And that is what Jack Murtha died from right after his surgery in 2010. I think it was 2010. Yeah.
Well, we are enormously grateful. How much did you pray when you were headed to the hospital, Selena?
That's all I did was pray.
What's your prayer of choice? The Hail Mary or the Our Father at that point?
I think it was a combination of both. Might have mixed up everything at some point. I think I was a little delusional. Yeah.
Well, what a great relief. Recuperate well. Selena, should the House of the United States impeach the president?
You know, I've been thinking about this. I came home from the hospital on Wednesday, watched everything play out, have watched everything that has happened since then. And it reminded me, I think we need a little Gerald Ford in this moment. And I think you might know what I'm talking about, in that after President Nixon had resigned and Gerald Ford took the oath of office, he did something that many people believe to this day impacted his political future, but he did it to heal the country. And he pardoned Nixon. I think it was, just a few weeks after he took office?
And I talked to one of his senior aides yesterday. It was a courageous decision, the right decision, and it cost him the presidency when he ran in 1976.
And while, you know, when he made that decision, even of Nixon's staunchest critics understood what Ford was doing, right? They understood that the thing that needed to happen in this moment was to heal the country. And you know, there's so many young people don't realize how raw things were in that time in 1974. And how hurt and divided and split the country was, and he took a a position that not many political people would do.
It was statesmanlike. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely statesmanlike. I'm hoping the president-elect guides his party there. Now, Selena, I can't let this go by, even though you're recuperating. Did you watch the game last night? Four interceptions from Big Ben?
So I tuned into the game. I tuned into the game probably late, maybe halfway through the first quarter, and I thought, do I have the wrong time?
Am I in an alternative universe?
Well, because like it's 28-0, you're gone.
You know, if you were healthy, this would be the time to get you up to Northeastern Ohio into Browns land, because I don't think that part of the land has ever, or call your buddy Tim Ryan and my friend Tim Ryan, talk about impeachment, and then you'll end up talking about the Browns.
Oh, yeah, I'm there today. I'm going to Niles, Ohio today, first of all, to talk to Tim Ryan about saving the AAA ball team there.
Oh, the Scrappers.
Yeah. You know, he was very instrumental in saving that team.
Good for Tim. Give him my regards. Please tell him not to vote to impeach the president. By the way, if he does, he'll be redistricted out, and his constituents will turn on him. That won't make up his mind, but the Constitution should. It's unconstitutional. He can call me if he wants.
Okay, I will tell him that. But I want to do a separate story on Browns fans. I think I did a story similar to this when Cleveland had this like big moment when it was the Cavs are in the playoffs and they were also named to be the RNC host in 2016.
Selena, you know your business, but if I can make a suggestion after you're done talking to Tim, head over to the hot dog shop on East Market, sit down in a booth there and just listen and talk to people for a couple hours, and it will be the only topic on anyone's mind. 27 years, 28 years, 1994, whatever that adds up to, 27 years. Isn't that something? Selena, we are glad you are safe. We are glad you are recovering. We are glad that you are back on the road, and we're glad that you're back on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Stay tuned, America. Hour number two of the Hugh Hewitt Show, straight ahead. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.